This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Buckets. Joining me today is Billy, as always, in Los Angeles, and special guest, LA Times Laker beat reporter Tanya Ganguly, live from her quarantine hotel cell in beautiful Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the show, Tanya.
You're getting buckets.
So what day number quarantine is this for you? Have you been able to keep track?
I got here Sunday night. So Monday, Tuesday. So I'm like almost at, I've been here for a little few hours over 4 full days. Sunday, I'll be hopefully getting my results from the Saturday test. And then I'll be able to leave the room finally and like roam around the grounds. It's like, yeah. See the pool, which I haven't seen yet.
It's going to be like the end of a horror movie where the door opens and a giant white light envelops you as you walk into the Orlando sun for the first time.
Oh, it's so hot out there. So like, you usually don't like to go outside. I used to live in Orlando and like, you don't really go outside much in July anyway, but it's nice to like at least have the option, right? And like, at least like see the sun sometimes. And my room doesn't have very much light.
It's literally, you're not like taking a walk even. You can't even take a 30-second stroll.
I take walks in my room.
I saw your video that the LA Times put up of your day in the life. Yeah. And it was so funny because it was one tray of food. One person enters the room to take your temperature, a second tray of food. And that's my day.
Yeah. Yeah, I had our video editor is really awesome. His name's Mark Potts. And I was like, he was like, just send me these videos. And I was like, this is not going to be interesting. But he did a great job making it kind of amusing. Like, look how boring this is. You know, the music was perfect for like what the day was like. Not very serious.
It's not very fair that Matisse Thybulle is getting to make videos that document his 15 different locations and all of his interesting mishaps along the way. And then you get to go from one wall to the other wall. It's just not fair.
Yeah. Well, he had to be in quarantine, but a lot shorter quarantine than I did. He had to, 36 hours was what all the teams had. So
yeah, why are journalists subject to stricter standards than the athletes who are spitting and sweating on each other? I don't understand
I think it's because they've been tested all last week. But if you think about it, it doesn't actually make. It's not actually as like I've kept saying that over and over, like, well, the players have been getting tested, so it's different. It's not actually that different because they were getting tested, but they were allowed to like be with their families and like their families leave the house.
Right.
And like, you know, like this, they very well could have caught the virus while they were at home. And obviously some of them have. So, you know, it takes, I don't think we know yet. I think we won't know until right around now, this weekend, we'll know who contracted COVID like at some point while they were still home. Because it takes 2 to 14 days, right, for the virus to incubate. So, because they only made them do a 36-hour quarantine, like there's definitely a possibility that guys would get in. For us, we haven't, the NBA hasn't been testing us, obviously. We've just been at home, and then we flew commercial into Florida, which is a hot spot. So I can sort of understand why they'd want a longer quarantine for us.
But yeah, oh my gosh. They have somebody got sick on the way to Orlando and it's just like practicing as a professional basketball player. They won't necessarily get a positive test until like day 9 of being in the bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, going to keep testing me once I get out of quarantine, so that's still going to happen, but at that point, you know, I'll be I think normally 5 days, it's usually like within 5 days that it manifests itself. So I think like they're just playing a numbers game, like hoping that this will be enough time.
Yeah. So much, erring on the side of caution.
So much is made of like the players and like, do they want to go really? And like, do they have a choice? What is the nature of their choice? But I'm curious from a journalist standpoint, like, are you given the option from the LA Times to say like, you know, do you want to go or not? Are you comfortable going? Or is it kind of a presumption that you're going on our behalf?
Yeah, they gave me the option. Our editors, since this pandemic started, have always been like, if you're uncomfortable with an assignment, you don't have to do it.
Nice.
So like we, yeah, so I was given the choice. I was even given the choice of like which part I wanted to go to, the beginning or the end. I chose, so I'm going to be splitting my time with my colleague, Dan Wojcie, and he's going to come at the end. I chose the beginning because I felt like now is when everything's really new and we're going to find out, is this going to work? And are we actually going to get to the playoffs are in a month? Are we actually going to get there?
Yeah.
You know, and I also kind of thought there was a possibility that like it might not get to the end.
Real. You guaranteed some action. He needs some luck.
Yeah.
Dan needs some luck to make it to day 46.
Yeah. The other side of it though is like, if the Lakers are in the finals, like I will feel a little, it won't be the best that I won't be there, but I also, you know, it's okay. I've covered the finals before. Yeah. I can cover it from a distance. So
yeah, there's a chance Dan never makes it to Orlando basically.
I think he will, but I did think about that. I was like, what if something crazy happens? Like, what if the Lakers, there were just so many unknowns and I felt like this was a time when I would need to be around.
Amir, which side would you pick? Would you pick the first 45 or the back 45?
I think I would choose the first 45. Like Tanya said, it's like fresh and exciting now and like there's more teams there and people are fishing. I feel like by day 90, people are like, just let's go play the games. I'm not like vlogging about a fucking beer bottle challenge. Get me out of here.
You want to be there for the fishing. You really want to cover the fishing. That's what, as any journalist knows.
Do you want to be there for freshman orientation week or finals week, basically? Yeah, and who knows what the games themselves are going to actually be. Like everything so far has just been behind the scenes, cool reality TV style content. Is there stuff to report on now or is it more like, yeah, I'm getting a text about Rondo's surgery, but you know the reporting is relatively light right now.
It's similar to what I would be doing if I was at home because I can't leave. So I do Zoom calls. There's Zoom calls every day. Once I'm out of here, I'll be able to go to practices. I won't be able to talk to people in person really, but I guess I'll be able to talk to some people kind of in person. But you know, you'll just be around a lot and you'll get a better feel of like what things are like. And then for the games, it's really valuable for the games because we'll be in the arena. We'll be like 15 feet from the court. So the Lakers do, that is how the Lakers do it. Like you're very close to the court, when you're covering Laker games, but most teams have kicked up media to like the upper decks. So for a lot, being 15 feet back is going to be valuable, especially with no fans in the building, because you'll be able to hear everything the players are saying.
That's going to be so interesting.
Have they decided? Are they pumping in crowd noise?
I think they're planning to do something like that. I think maybe in the next day or two, they're going to be talking to all the teams about what exactly they're going to do. But they're going to try to, I mean, I think they're just going to try things. It's hard to know what's the right thing to do right now.
I think my favorite suggestion regarding crowd was that each team gets one fan, and that fan is just allowed to cheer as hard as they can from either end of the stadium. There's something very fun about that.
Tanya, we would love for you to be that fan. I know it's not necessarily non-biased and technically illegal.
I was going to ask, who would that fan be? Would it be someone that we know, like...
I'm crossing my fingers, hoping God I could be a Laker fan. I could be the Laker fan of the night because I'm, you know, I have a social media following, so I can tweet out the reaction as it happens. I also have the historical background. I've been a fan my whole life, so it won't seem fake. I'm not a celebrity, so it's not like, oh, it's weird that Jack Nicholson is there. I don't want to admit to him. I don't know if you know anybody in that world, but I would love to be the one fan.
Tonight's fan, Amir.
So how much does the LA Times have, like how much control do they have over what you're working on over there versus the NBA? Is the NBA telling you, you can go here, you can go there, you have to wear a mask, you can't wear a mask, or is LA Times coming up with any of those rules?
No, the LA Times, well, they gave me a lot of equipment. They gave me like a bunch of masks. They gave me hand sanitizer, gave me goggles, they gave me gloves. I like put on a hood.
Goggles.
It's like it looked like it came from the movie Outbreak, and it had like a little hole in the front. There's like a plastic on the front of your face so you can see. And then there's a hole in the front, and you stick this like nozzle into the hole and you spray yourself with stuff while you're wearing a mask. And
what circumstance are you putting on this deep sea diver outfit?
Is that if you get stung by a wasp or something?
Well, that's a test. So that's how they teach you how the masks work. So like, they had me put on, I had like a cloth mask that I just brought, that I was just had just been wearing, and they had me put that on and spray myself. And then they had me put an N95 mask on, a KN95, which is a little less effective, but they had me put that one on and spray myself. And they're like, see the difference? This is why you should wear this. So, I went through all that training before I got here, but the rules of what I'm supposed to wear and what I'm supposed to do all come from the NBA. The NBA has a ton of rules. It's going to be a very restrictive environment, I think, I think it's going to be much more restrictive for reporters than it is for players.
Are you going to act like as though you're back in Los Angeles, like wearing a mask to dining places and eating outside only, or like once you're in the bubble and it's day 35 and nobody has any cases, are you gonna like embrace the idea that like, oh shit, this is kind of like 2019, I can go eat at a restaurant and not like have to worry as much?
I think they're gonna enforce mask wearing the whole time. That's at least what my impression is. Like, I don't think it's gonna be up to me to decide how to act with that. I think like they're still gonna, because the thing you have to understand is like, we're still interacting with people that are outside the bubble, you know, like the people who work here don't live here.
And so yeah, like, what's that about? How are they possibly, yeah. It's like, we have to maintain, everybody gets tested as much as possible. Also, this cleaning crew just came in from wherever the fuck, and they're just going to be hanging around there too. Doesn't that like defeat the whole purpose?
Yeah, they're going to be wearing masks, which will help. But it's not.
I think that we all got caught up in the word bubble. And I think we all just started believing that there was an actual bubble over this place. Yeah. But there never was a bubble. Yeah. There was never like some sort of force field that people couldn't get in and out of. It's still a real place with real roads and entrances and exits. And that's the reality of it. Yeah. It's just best laid plans right now for Adam Silver, it seems.
Yeah. The NBA, I think for a while was like kind of balking at the word bubble, just for the reasons that you said. They didn't want people to feel, they didn't want people to accuse them of not having a bubble, because that is what they, you know, it's, their plan was not to have a bubble. It was to have a campus that's as safe as possible is what their idea.
So I mentioned that I was kind of a Laker fan earlier, so I was wondering if you had any insight on the team that people don't necessarily know about yet. What the heck is going on there? I know there's murmurs of Markieff Morris not necessarily being there. I don't know if that's out in the open or not.
He's not here.
What gives?
I don't know exactly what's going on with him, but he's supposed to be coming back. He's supposed to be rejoining the team soon, and I think we'll probably get a chance to talk to him then and figure out exactly what was going on. Other than him, Rondo and Avery Bradley, everybody's here. Everybody's been able to practice. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Dwight Howard has been on Instagram live.
Yes.
Almost every hour of the day.
We've seen him order the culottas. It's just
Everybody says they're in great shape, which is like pretty standard for training camp time.
Yeah. Do you expect like preseason basketball once the season resumes? Is it going to be like the worst played playoffs ever?
I don't. Maybe. I mean, they just They just, it's impossible to know like anything, right? Maybe they have been able to stay in somewhat of basketball shape. Like maybe they didn't wind down from, because at the end of, when the season ends, usually like most of these guys will give themselves like a week or two or a month even to like unwind. Like if, but I guess if you didn't, if you never gave yourself that, maybe it's possible to kind of stay
right
up there in shape, but I don't know. It's hard to say, like, and but the other, on the other hand, like they haven't been able to play basketball in so long, like real basketball
right
with like 5-on-5
right
against right opponents, you know, like,
yeah,
they just haven't been able to. I mean,
I guess it depends team to team, you know, like some teams on game 7 and 8 will be fighting for their playoff lives and some will be like, why are we here? I don't want to be here. I want to go home. Like Brooklyn versus Oklahoma City or whatever on like August 30th is going to be a very,
yeah, Horace matchup. Grant will be on the Nets at yeah that point. Like they will have gone through like generations of basketball players just trying to field a team.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
There are some teams that it's like this, it's, and you, it's unclear like why, like the Kings and yeah the Nets, like they've had so many cases.
It's just television. Isn't it just television revenue and like just trying to, you know, take some edge off of the losses that the owners.
Don't be so cynical,
I'm
not, Billy.
I'm just trying to.
How dare you? It's all about money with you. They want to play for the love of the game. Jamal Crawford deserves to play NBA basketball this year for 4 games.
That I don't disagree with.
Are you clued in at all on the other team? Like, how much of a Lakers bubble are you in as a Lakers beat writer?
I will try to go to some other practices. I've been listening in on Zoom calls with other teams. It's a little hard because the Lakers have to be my priority. And their stuff kind of overlaps sometimes. When they start letting us into practices, we're supposed to get like the NBA has complete control over this. So we're supposed to request getting to go to certain practices and they're supposed to give beat writers the priority for that. So I imagine there will be a lot of requests for Lakers practice. I imagine I'll be able to go to all of the ones that I want to go to, which will be
that's cool. You can trade access with a Phoenix Times writer.
Like the Clippers typically practice at the same time as the Lakers. So when that happens, like I'm not going to be able to do both. The schedule changes every single day. It's completely, and it's all based on what the NBA has, where the NBA has put everyone and like what it, you know, what their plan is. So,
right now Lakers are like practice today. Are there any reporters there?
No.
And you just hear about it, how you're texting the coach after, or you're just watching Dwight Howard's Instagram story.
We talk to people after, like they do Zoom calls, before. So they do Zoom calls before. I can reach out to people and kind of see how things went. And then the Lakers sometimes post, they're letting like their league and their team social media people in. So we get to see a little bit from that. But it's a very controlled environment. Like there's the teams and the league have complete control over sort of what we get to do and what we get to see right now.
Yeah. Like people are breaking their thumbs. Rajon Rondo broke his thumb. Like it could have happened for hours without anybody finding out. That's so unusual.
Well, we don't get to see practice. We don't get to see most of practice anyway. Like during the season, they only let us see like the first like 5 minutes usually. So in that sense, it's not a lot different. And you hope that, you know, like our job as reporters is to sort of try to find out if like something big happens.
Are you racing the Shams and Woges of the world trying to get big breaks, or that's sort of not, that's a different part of journalism from you?
I try to get whatever information I can. So
if I was a sports journalist, I would drop sources so much. I would just say that sources have told me. Like sources feels like the most wild card. No one can call you out on it. Like, is there any conversation amongst journalists where it's like, I haven't really heard this, but I could just say sources have told me. You're totally innocent.
Do you have to tell anybody your sources, or you can just always say sources?
I sometimes, it depends on the story, but I don't want to, like, I wouldn't say anything that I hadn't heard from sources because it could be wrong. wrong.
But that's not your fault. That's the source.
Yeah, just blame it on sources.
Yeah, you could blame the source.
That's like a problem with modern sports journalism, I think. Like, a lot of people feel that way. They're like, well, I told you what my sources said, so I wasn't wrong. My source was. It's like, no, you were wrong.
That's right. What it feels like.
You said it. You have to own up.
Interesting.
Like, if your source told you something wrong and you didn't, you got burned on that, like, you got burned, like you got it wrong.
I'd like to imagine sports journalist phones have just names: source one, source two. It's completely anonymous. Oh, it's source three. I got to take this.
Food wise, is it the same stuff that the athletes are posting over there, or you get access to different restaurants?
I don't have access to any restaurants right now.
You don't order. They're like, this is the food you're getting.
They bring me food 3 times a day. It came right before I got on with you guys.
Oh, crap. We're delaying the meal. Sorry, Tanya. Oh, this is the worst position to find yourself in. Sorry.
Two idiots talking to you while your food gets cold.
Yesterday's meals were really good. Today, not that good.
Are you on the campus with everybody else? It's that same resort area?
Yeah.
So you're there in the bubble outside your little window. You can, oh, look, it's Joel Embiid walking to like a Mexican restaurant.
Well, so I'm kind of like on the outskirts. Like the only thing, I think I did see Taco Fall riding his bike past my window.
Great sentence. <That's>...
But I have not seen any other NBA players. Cause I've just been, my room's kind of on the edges of the campus. I think I'm moving after I get out of quarantine. So fingers crossed, it'll be a better location then. But yeah, well, we're in a different hotel. So there's 3 hotels that the teams are staying in. We're in a hotel that's connected to the hotel that the Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, like all the top teams are staying in, but it's not the same hotel. It's got a different pool. I won't be like running into Dwight while he's on his IG live.
Somehow he'll find you. Somehow he'll find you. If his IG live has proven anything, he gets her out.
What's the first thing you're doing once you leave the quarantine?
I don't know. Probably like walk around.
Just smell a flower.
Yeah.
Probably going to Lakers practice is the first thing I'll do because they're practicing Monday morning. So
yeah,
I'll have to be there.
The one thing I'm really curious about, LeBron is so prolific on social media. Do you have any intel on his room, what his room looks like? Because to me, that one has to be different. If there was one king suite.
Yeah, I don't, but I'll try to find out. That's a great
Thank answer. You so much. Thank you so, so much. I know that we're keeping you from dinner, and to know that you are going to look into that means so much to me right now.
I know your dinner is literally there and waiting, so we won't keep you waiting.
That's okay. I never eat it on time. I always
get it. All right, sweet. Thank you so much. And then how can people read your stuff, see your tweets?
You can read my stuff on latimes.com. I'll be writing every single day. I'm going to write a story right after I get off here. And then my Twitter is Tanya Ganguly, TanyaGanguli. And that's also my Instagram handle. I've been posting mostly food because that's really all I have in my life right now.
Yeah.
You and me both, Tanya. You and me both.
I was like, these games don't even need to happen. Like every personality there documenting everything. That's like so much more entertainment than we can possibly have. We don't need the Wizards and the Bucks to play each other. We're already getting the joy.
Just let them throw beanbags. That's perfectly fine, apparently. Like, that's that's fine. Catch a fish.
All right. Thanks so much, Tanya.
No problem.
All right. That was Tanya. That was interesting.
Yeah. Thanks to Tanya.
Here's a question for you, William. Adam Silver emails us, and he says, you know what? Zach Lowe dropped out. Howard Beck dropped out. The No Dunks guys don't want any part of Orlando. We are desperate for 2 podcasters who are down to live in the bubble in Orlando for 3 months. Do you take the press pass and enjoy yourself?
First off, I would say, Mr. Silver, thank you for having Amir and I as number 4 behind No Dunks, Zach Lowe and Howard Beck. I did not know we were that highly ranked in the media sphere.
Yep.
Really, would I? At this age and all of the bullshit I've talked about with people going out during COVID, I think I'm going to say no to the bubble.
Really?
I think so. I think so. I think if I was 24 and I was like, if I saw an NBA player, I would lose my shit. I would probably say yes to any opportunity at all to be near an NBA basketball player. So I think it's my time in life.
You? I think, well, this, I don't know if I told you this, but this kind of happened to me before.
Okay.
Down to the city of Orlando, flashback to 2009, friend of mine, Neil Janowitz, who I don't know if you know him, he's a sports writer, comedian from New York. He works for ESPN, the magazine, and I'm sort of, you know, freelance joke writing for them. And since he works at ESPN, the magazine, the 2009 NBA Finals, he gets press passes to any games that he wants to go to because he writes for the magazine. So he's like, I can't fly you there, he says to me, but if you ever like want to just go down to Orlando and watch an NBA Finals game, I'll give you my press pass. So that's like a ticket into the arena and you can basically do whatever you want.
And you were already on a flight when he said that, right? You were later.
I can't answer. I'm boarding right now, first class to Orlando. So the next day, it was game four of the NBA Finals. The Lakers are up 2-1. And I fly myself down to Orlando, get a hotel room, and get tickets the next day to fly back. I'm like, I got to go because I can get into the fucking arena for free. So I show up at like 11 a.m. to this arena. The game's not till 9. And I'm just like walking around like a kid in a candy store being like, oh, that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Oh my God, that's Sasha Vujacic. Oh, that's Phil Jackson. Oh, that's Dan Van Gundy.
What was the most ballsy thing you did there? Like what was the one thing that you're like, this might be crossing the line, but like taking advantage of a cool situation?
Probably like walk past the locker room and see if I can like go into the locker room because I don't have like reporter access. I have like general ESPN access.
Got it. Did you go into the locker room?
No, I didn't take that step. I was like, you know, where the coaches and the players have that press conference after the games where they're like sitting at the table. So I was in that room. I could have asked a question, I think, but I didn't ask a question.
Oh my God. That would have been fun. Is that a small room? That has small room vibes to it.
Yeah. That's like, it's like where like snacks are between quarters and then like, all right, the game is over. Let's take out the snacks and we'll set up a podium.
Oh my God. It's the snack room. And then coach comes in.
But the game itself was like historic. Like Derek Fit, we were down like four with like 25 seconds left and like scored a basket, fouled. And then Derek Fisher like hit a three to send it into overtime and then hit a three to win the game. And I'm cheering at like the press box area. And as I'm cheering, there's a voice next to me who's like, you can't cheer in press row. Yikes. I was like, I was 24. I didn't quite, or I was 26 at that. I didn't know that rule that like you can't applaud for any team because you're technically a journalist. I didn't have the heart to tell. Chris Broussard was the person who was telling me to shut up. They're like, oh, sorry, I don't really work for ESPN, the magazine. I just, my friend hooked me up with a press pass.
Talk about sources. Yeah. Talk about that dude dropped more sources than LeBron's and everyone's exodus. That dude is the king of sources.
According to him, Kawhi is still thinking about playing for the Lakers.
Yeah, really. I have on good faith. My sources have told me. Oh, that's so funny. Of course, Chris Broussard reprimanded you in Orlando in 2009. But that's a perfect example of what I was saying, where it's like mid-20s Billy, yes, anything to be near a basketball player and be near the game. Mid-30s Billy, anything to stay away from COVID-19.
It's probably for the best. And we can enjoy all the stuff from our for the comforts of our own home through Instagram stories, Twitter accounts. We'll watch the games on TV. It'll be interesting nonetheless.
But the truth of the matter is, if that was a real situation that happened, like, and Adam Silver actually emailed you and I, we would definitely have a call with one another and think it through. And I know we would both be like, all right, I guess we're going to Orlando.
Yeah, it seems like, I think my line would be like, if I get to go with you and like hang out with you, I would go. But like, I don't know if I would like drag myself by myself to a hotel room. I think that's too much solitude for 3 months because I'm like experiencing all the stuff, but I don't talk to anybody about it. I'm just like wearing a mask by myself. So it's like that uncomfortable feeling I had for one day in Orlando times 120 days.
Real. So here would be the follow-up. What if Adam Silver says, okay, I will grant you and Billy guaranteed are going together. However, you have to share a room.
Oh, well, we got to get tested and we got to quarantine and we got to do all that stuff. We got to be
together.
Safe.
Together.
That's right. Yeah, together.
That's Q-tip, loaded.
Two nostrils, baby.
Yeah. Well, Lady and the Tramp, a Q-tip. You're probably the most data-driven person I know. You're very aware of what's happening with coronavirus right now. You're one of the biggest NBA fans I know. So with all of that, do you think that 2021 will resemble this part of the NBA season where it's another sort of like quote-unquote bubble? Or do you think that it will resemble the first half of this NBA season? Does that make sense? A normal season again? Or is this a test run for another bubble?
Yeah, I think like they're supposed to play again in December. They're saying the season should start again in like 5 months. And like, I can't imagine a world where the cases are less than they are now in 5 months. We're not doing anything to combat like anything. Numbers are going up. That's what they'll keep doing because people still don't give a shit for the most part. So there's no reason to think that it won't be.
So this is a test run.
Yeah. This is not only a test run, but it's like lighter than what I think December will be worse than what it is now.
Okay, got it. Yeah. All right. Well, something to look forward to.
Yeah. You liked Orlando for 3 months. Imagine living there for the entire season. I don't know what they're going to do.
I think that's when players start saying, I don't think so.
Yeah.
There are not enough beanbags and fish in the world
to keep me here. Unless you pay me $35 million, in which case, all right, sign me up.
In which case, yeah, I'll take any flight you need. Get me there.
It's different for every player. Like Kemba Walker's like, yeah, I'm single. I don't have any kids. Sign me up to like live in Orlando. I'll be playing fucking video games and playing NBA basketball. And then like LeBron is like, I can't leave my family of three. Like I want to watch my sons and daughter play sports and hang out with them. Everybody's completely different.
There's got to be some sort of like tunnel under the complex in which LeBron James has like exclusive access and he has like family and friends like somewhere under a tunnel that he has full. He just seems like he would have to be treated a little different. Am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah.
Like, no way he has a queen sized bed. Like something's different for him. I just know it.
Yeah, he's not like, oh, these are four identical rooms and JaVale McGee's in one and LeBron's in the other and Curry's in the other.
Right.
He has like,
I don't know what it is, but I can't wait for that photo to drop. It's going to be different.
He's in like the Walt Disney Mansion, which is like where Walter himself was buried or something. He has like an entire house to himself.
He just has Mickey cooking him omelets in the morning.
Here you go, King.
Get back in the kitchen, Mickey.
Oh my God. It's such a fucking nightmare / dream, really. I don't know. I keep waffling back and forth between whether this is like an awful thing for humanity or like an amazing thing. It's providing entertainment, but it's so dangerous.
Crap. I'm really second guessing if Adam Silver emailed us, which he does very often. Let's not lie. He's always just chewing at us on Gmail. But if he said, will you two come down and be the exclusive podcast of the NBA bubble experience? I might just suddenly do a 180 and say on the next flight ad.
I think so. Yeah. There's part of the like novelty of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Of the novel coronavirus that like you want to be a part of it, even if it does go south.
It's the room where it happens for all those Hamilton fans.
That's
there.
Right.
You kind of just want to be in the room where it happens just to see for yourself.
I wonder how into it Avery Bradley is. It's like his team is there. Like, is he like texting updates or are they like, don't talk to Avery. He's persona non grata right now.
An interesting case is Victor Oladipo too, who was like, I'm not playing, like I'm not healthy yet. And then someone whispered once he got down there, you're not gonna get paid. And he was like, I might play, I'm thinking about playing.
Yeah, what was that? He said he wasn't going, but then he did show up and then he started practicing. He's like, all right, maybe I will play.
He said he wasn't going to play, but he would travel with the team, which my interpretation is that he thought that means I still get paid regardless.
Right.
I think that when he found out that that's going to affect pay, he started saying, well, I could probably practice on
it. It is. It's also so funny to like see all of our FanDuel All-Stars like, oh, there's Royce O'Neal in the background of a Jordan Clarkson beer chugging video. Oh, look at that. What is that guy doing there? That's fun to see him.
FanDuel's going to be a lot sadder, I think. I think that's going to be like the did not plays are going to be like, oh no, when we do that. Something about that doesn't feel right.
Right.
We'll still play.
Oh no.
We'll still play
Of course. I'm playing right now. But we're going from
I have a lineup.
Yeah, we went from watching
I have an August 1st lineup.
We went from watching like Chauncey Billups play horse on a Zoom power shot camera to like NBA basketball in 1 month. We're going from 0 to 100.
Dude, ESPN jumped the gun on that horse because there's no coming back from it. It was such an abject failure that they can't be like, we're trying the horse thing again. If they had just waited until the bubble, we could have had so many fun lawn game challenges that like that would have been watchable.
Yeah.
But they were just like, get a game of horse in now. And now everyone's like, we can never do horse again. No one mentioned the animal horse, no riding horses.
Now we're watching like grainy footage of the Mavericks pre-practice playing spike ball. Did you see that?
No, but that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
No, it's too late because we fucked it all up with a horse.
It's so interesting that this ends with NBA basketball.
And it's soon.
Just like
it's soon. It's like 2 weeks away from a real game that matters.
Major League Baseball's about a week away, maybe to the day, a week away. It's just like, okay, so sports are happening? I'm a diehard sports fan who misses it dearly with all of my heart. Like I'm missing a huge chunk of my soul without sports. And I'm still simultaneously like, what are you guys doing?
I think Sean Doolittle said it best, a baseball closer that I didn't know until he had this interview. He's like, sports are the byproduct, the prize of a functional society. We like don't deserve to have sports. We're messing it up. We don't get to then cram in basketball games to this fucking disaster we've created.
Fact. We don't get new television shows. Yeah. We don't get to go to the movies. You need to be a functioning society before you get any of the perks that come with it.
I don't think we deserve the vaccine. I'll say that right now.
You said it on Twitter.
Dangle it above us like kids who are misbehaving.
I put my phone down. I was like, there will not be a reply to this tweet. Like, this is we
don't get dessert. We didn't eat vegetables. We don't deserve the vaccine. Give the vaccine to the sick people. I personally know for a fact. Anybody who's not wearing a mask, back of the line for the vaccine, for sure.
Okay, that's fine. Back of the line.
Yeah.
Back of the line for the vaccine line.
Anti-masker, anti-vaxxers. No medicine for you.
No.
Unless, of course, we need them to be vaccinated, then mandatory vaccinations for all.
Everyone, front of the line. Get to the front.
Yeah, all 2x2. All right. I mean, I'm curious to see. I think scrimmages start next week, so we can watch some of those and comment on it on this here podcast that we're doing.
Yeah, what does that mean? I mean, we probably put out 2 or 3 podcasts in the past 4 months due to the inactivity of basketball and other things happening in the world.
Yeah, remember the last dance?
Does this podcast become... Yeah, I do remember the last dance. That was what, 2017?
That was 41 years ago, yeah.
I remember that, yeah. I wonder if we make more of this podcast with the return of basketball.
Yeah, we're going to be getting like 4, 5, 6 games a day. A lot to talk about.
Oh. All right. Welcome back, Buckets.
Yeah, live stream. Maybe we can live stream one of the games, that first game back. I think it's Lakers-Clippers is the first game back. It's absurd.
I know, which sounds so awesome, but it's like, guys, be careful.
It just, you know what it is? The stakes are so like high, but also so low at the same time. Like, right. Am I really talking shit to Clippers fans if the Lakers beat them in this weird artificial game? Like, if the Clippers want to be like, yeah, but like, you know what? Like, there's a fucking pandemic happening. I'm not watching basketball. There's no bragging rights to be had.
You know, it's easy to say that now, but part of me knows that you will be sending different texts when they actually play.
Oh, of course. If they win, yeah, then it's like this championship means the most. I mean, the Lakers have been through China. They've been through Kobe. They've been through COVID.
No,
we've seen it all and we still persevere. This championship should be worth 5.
There's only one team of the whole, you know, NBA, and just probably, I mean, that really earned this championship. Everything else is just to the side. Yeah. The Lakers really won this
one. Unless the Clippers win, and okay. Which gets, that's an asterisk. That's not a real championship. It's a dummy championship. You won the summer league, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah, like you don't get a ring.
Yeah.
You're not getting
a ring, right? The only ring they get is the one that like monitors their heartbeat and temperature to make sure that they stay alive. But other than that,
you get to keep your eye on ring.
That's right. That's all you get. Other ring. All right, sweet.
I was saying, yeah, good.
No, what were you saying?
No, I was just saying that with baseball starting and having a 60-game season and like nobody even knows what the rules of the playoffs are yet. Like, they haven't even come to that point yet. It's like the Mets, my favorite team, and like the class clown lovable losers of the Major League Baseball will 100% win the World Series this year because it's not real baseball. So, of course, we'll win that year. So my team should hopefully win. Your team should hopefully win. And I think it would be a great 2020 will be remembered as a great year for all.
What would be the funniest team to win a championship?
I think maybe the Mets winning the World Series. No. I mean, for me at least.
What's the basketball equivalent of that, I should say? Is it the Rockets?
Ooh.
Like Harden and Westbrook winning their first championship, but it's this one?
Dude, Pelicans are 150-1 Vegas odds to win the NBA championship, and I think they can do it, dude. I think they can genuinely do it.
Let's each put $1,000 down, and then if they win, we'll fucking buy a house in New Orleans together.
$5,000.
Then if they win, we can buy two houses in New Orleans.
Five houses. Five houses.
In Los Angeles.
We'll buy a block. We'll buy a whole block in New Orleans.
150-1, really?
Yeah, which, I mean, I know we're trying to get off this podcast right now, but who knows? Zion, just for like, just a sprint with him, Drew Holiday just like shows up. I don't know. That's just, this. Nobody knows what the season looks like, who suddenly disappears from their roster. We'll see.
All right, okay. We'll be back soon enough. Thanks for listening. Thanks for bearing with us. Long break, but basketball's back, baby. Yeah.
Basketball's back, and so is Tanya.
Later, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.